Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Follow along with me and read with me as we go over the catechetical review. The fifth commandment, "You shall not murder." What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The eighth commandment, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. Our epistle reading for the day comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, chapter 6, verse 10. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise and sing the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. This will also serve as the basis for our sermon meditation this morning. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Yeah.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is based upon our gospel lesson. We read this verse again. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Dear Christian friends, we live in a time of high inflation. We confront rising prices every day, and it takes money to obtain the goods and services that we need to support this body and life. Money is an important part of our life, and it's been that way for the last 2,000 years. As Christians, we hear Jesus ask us today as well, who is our master? Who is our master, either money or God? We cannot serve two masters, but by the Holy Spirit's power, we bow down to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we serve him. Our text is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. It's early in Jesus' ministry. He has not yet called all 12 of his apostles. It is early in his ministry. And we have these three chapters of Matthew of his Sermon on the Mount. In the section just preceding our text for today, Jesus is talking about laying up treasures for us in heaven. At the end of this pericope, he tells us to seek God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us as well. Now he says, you cannot serve two masters. Cannot serve both God and money. Slavery was an issue at the time of Christ. It was a worldwide phenomena. Every known country at that time for centuries had slavery and continued to have slavery up until just a couple of hundred years ago. It was a common phenomena. When Jesus says you cannot serve two masters, the audience there, the children of Israel, knew what he was talking about. You could not have two masters and make it work. You would despise the one, love the other, or whatever. And so the question is, what about us? Can we serve two masters? Can we serve both God and money? We chafe under the idea of slavery, that anyone or anything would be master over us. We have a very independent spirit. And that independent spirit has made this country great. We believe, keep the government out of things and let me do it myself. That independent spirit has made our country great. We believe that slavery is wrong. We don't want to be in bondage to anyone. But that's kind of how the Jews felt too at the time. Remember in John, Jesus says you can't be a slave to sin. And the Jews said to him, Abraham's our father. We haven't been a slave to anyone. Even though for the last 700 years they've been in bondage, they've been a vassal state to someone. So the question before us becomes, are we completely independent? Are we completely free? Luther says, where your heart is, there is your God. Whom do we serve? Do we serve God? Is Jesus our Lord and Savior? Or do we serve money? Now let's take a look at the arguments that Jesus offers for serving God, for letting God be our Lord and Master. Let's take a look at money. God does give us a responsibility to care for ourselves and our neighbor, our loved ones. And money is the medium of exchange. Money is really a barter system. We work and provide a service, provide goods, we get a paycheck so that we can buy other goods and services from someone else. The reality of it is we need money. It's the medium of exchange. Those of you with kids had to buy shoes for school this fall, and all those school supplies and all that kind of stuff. There's piano lessons. For those of us who are older, there's medical expenses. All that stuff takes money. At the end of each month, we have to balance the checkbook. Or if we run in the hole last month, we better make it up this month. Money is a part of our lives. It is a reality. But does money become an obsession for us? Do we want money to be our master? Then Jesus says, take a look at the God option. Look at the arguments that Jesus gives in our text. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow the seed, reap the harvest the grain, and yet the Father takes care of them. How much more won't he take care of us, O you of little faith? He goes on to say, who by worrying can add a single cubit, single part of time to his life? Will anxiety help us live longer? And no, it won't. In fact, we know that Christians, on average, live 2 or 3 years longer than others because our master is Christ. The God whom we serve is a loving God. Then what about clothing? Solomon in all of his splendor, look how greatly he was clothed. Yet the lilies of the air are more beautiful. And God has provided us with a great creation. And we take a look at his magnificence. And who did he put at the top of his creation? Who did he give responsibility to have dominion over? To whom did he breathe into them the breath of life? You and me. If God has this great, beautiful creation, will he ignore you, the pinnacle of his creation? Can we trust that God is there with us, beside us, providing us what we need? Do we need to worry? And then the biggest proof of all, and it's not mentioned in our text, is the cross. Did God see us in our sin? And did God do something to change that? And the answer is, yes, he did. And we know what he did. He sends Christ into our world to endure the punishment that our sin deserves. Christ went to the cross for you and me. He suffered and died for you and me that we might have restoration with him. And with that restoration comes the promise of everlasting life. The grave is not going to hold us, as we sang in our hymn. But on the last day, we will be restored to him. Our sins are washed away. And we have this gift of eternal life with God in heaven. All because he sent his son to suffer and die, rise again to achieve that for us. So is God for us? Will he take care of us? Will he provide what we need? Do we let God be master, or do we let money be master? When we see God as a loving master, not a dictatorial tyrant who rules over us with the iron hand of the law, but as the God who saves us and grants us eternal life, we want God to be the master of our life. We put our hope and trust in him. We cling to him. Who is our master? Money or God? By the Spirit's power, we say, God. And yet as Christians, we realize that there are struggles in this life, struggles to trust in Him and not in ourselves, struggles to trust in Him and not in money. He goes on to talk about anxiety. We can be worry warts. It's hard not to be anxious when the checkbook doesn't balance. It's hard not to be anxious when it doesn't look like we're providing the needs of our kids. It's hard not to be anxious when we don't know if we can buy our pills for the next month. We have those struggles. Money is the medium of exchange, and we Christians are aware of that struggle. We do have to balance the checkbook at the end of the month. That is just part of life here on earth, and it's part of the Christian life. It's part of being a good steward. We struggle with money issues, and we are anxious about those things. But we remember Christ and His promise to take care of us, provide for us, and we ask for forgiveness, and we keep going. But it's just not money, is it? There are other tribulations out there. Sickness, things are going along pretty well. And then we have a diagnosis which is not promising. There are family issues which can bother and plague us. How come things are not going well in the family? Where is Christ when I need Him in this situation? Trouble at work. And oftentimes with these tribulations, we are blindsided. We don't see them coming. And fine, one day, and then the next, there they come. It seems like there is always something about which we can worry, be anxious about. Jesus says in verse 34, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We don't need to worry about tomorrow because we got enough trouble today, is what Jesus is saying. And that's true, isn't it? And so we trust in Him. We trust in Him. How do we trust in Him? How do we keep going? Well, we go to Him in prayer with our concerns and our anxieties. He is a dear friend. And we can tell Him our troubles and our situations, and He promises to hear us and listen to us. So we use prayer. We use the means of grace which He has given us. His Word. We pray, we read the Scriptures, we hear of His love for us through His Son, Christ Jesus. We come to church, this gathering together. We draw strength from the Word that is preached. We draw strength from the fellowship of the saints gathered together who support us in our needs. We bring our children to baptism in which they put on Christ. And we remember our baptism, that we are Christ people. We are Christ servants. We want to serve Him. We come and we receive His body and blood given to us in the sacrament. And again, we have that assurance of forgiveness and peace with Him and the promise of everlasting life. We are strengthened. We are strengthened to keep going, to persevere, to trust in Him with the promise that heaven is our ultimate home. We have eternal life with Him. We know there will always be something. There always has been, and there always will be. There will always be something. And we can be tempted to take our focus off of Christ and put it on other things. And our pericope today talks about money. That is a real temptation, to put our hope and confidence in our money. But Jesus reminds us that He is a loving master. We say that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Perhaps it would be better if we said Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Because he is our Savior, we want him to be our Lord. Because he is our Savior, because we have forgiveness and eternal life, we want to serve him as our Master. And by the Holy Spirit's power, we let Jesus be our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen.